I think so, Lindy. What everyone is in agreement about is that the government should have stepped in
And
done something on deposits, and we all agree that guaranteeing foreign borrowings or term borrowings was also a good move after the British did it and the Irish and everyone else. So clearly, though, what actually has happened, I think, is that the Reserve Bank didn't want an unlimited guarantee on deposits. They weren't at the table on the crisis cabinet meeting on that Saturday. Their advice was simply relayed third hand through Ken Henry, and Rudd went on, the PM went on the into Parliament today and said Ken Henry said that the regulators all supported it.
Yeah.
And clearly the most controversial aspect was the unlimited guarantee on deposits. And clearly now what has happened, because if you look, for instance, at the front page of the Australian Financial Review today, it's, mortgage fund freezes withdrawals. And, Australia's biggest mortgage fund, a $3 billion challenger, Howard Mortgage Fund, has frozen redemptions because there's been a run on the fund because they're not included in the unlimited guarantee on deposits.
Mm-hmm.
So the unintended consequences of an unlimited guarantee on deposits has basically destroyed the $31 billion unlisted mortgage trust industry, which was already, there's about 12 or 13 frozen funds there. So it's exacerbated their problems. And then we've also got revealed today that the heads of all the international banks, UBS, JP Morgan, Deutsche Bank, BNP, they've written to the government saying, well, because we're not included in the guarantee, we're going to pull it, we can't raise funds in Australia, we can't support your corporates. So everyone now wants to have access to the Australian government guarantee, the AAA rating. And in the case of the foreign banks, it's a difficult question because in the case of JP Morgan, well, they've got the US government basically guaranteeing them and investing $25 billion in them. So why should they access our credit rating? So these are all the wrinkles that have to be worked through. And I think I would say about the Reserve Bank is that they are the master private briefers of the media. Mark Latham once wrote a column saying, they are the best spin doctors out there. And I know a number of journalists who are in receipt of their calls. I've never received one, you see. I'm just a bit put out by this. So today's front page story in The Australian, no quotes, but very strong. I've no doubt it was a call from the RBA. It was a deliberate decision by the RBA to get their opposition to the unlimited nature of the deposits on the record.
So why come out then after that and say that we're fully behind the government's decision?
Well, if you listen to Glenn Stevens carefully,
yes,
he says he's behind the package.
Yeah.
But he's not going to talk about the specifics of it. So there's only one element of it, and I think it was a mistake to make a thing completely
uncapped. What should have been capped at?
A couple of million, or, 100. It actually wouldn't matter that much whether it was 100,000. 100,000 covers sort of 95%. But just don't make it completely unlimited for everyone. I mean, actually put a figure on it. And the government says, well, we're going to basically sort of apply an insurance premium to people who use it. So that's a way of sort of containing it. You charge people for the right of using it. But I personally think that Malcolm Turnbull came out and said, the government first said it should be 20,000. Turnbull came out and said it should be 100,000. And the government came out and said it's unlimited. Now, I don't know whether the government didn't want to look like they were following Malcolm's advice or whatever, but maybe they should have come out and said half a million or something.
It is strange because so often what happens with this, and we've seen this in the United States and in Europe as well, is that politics gets caught up with the financial aspect. And there's this, you can imagine the backroom deals going on saying, well, we need to do something, but perhaps we need to even go further so that then everyone will think that we're fantastic and saving everybody. And then the politics gets caught up in it all.
I agree. It's happening a lot. And, Kevin Rudd and his poll ratings have gone up, and the whole, economic crisis, economic security package line, which personally I think, I tend to agree with Malcolm Turnbull, it frightens the horses too much to invoke war and 9/11 and this sort of stuff. But that was the political decision that Kevin Rudd took to provide a bit of shock therapy to everyone. But then has that caused the run on the mortgage trusts?
Mm.
If you've got the government saying this is a rolling national security crisis, those people say, well, why would I leave my money in a mortgage trust that isn't guaranteed? Bang, it's all out. They're all frozen. And massive dislocation, and the government just needs to basically, at times like this, be flexible and not be too proud, and basically to go with the best policy that the regulators and everyone says doing it, regardless of who said it first.
Who's come up with it, exactly.
And the Europeans and the Americans are squabbling, the Brits and the Europeans, put the egos aside, please, politicians. Just go with the policy that actually works for this crisis.
Stephen Mayne is here, shareholder activist, that he is. He'll take your calls. Well, we've got some thoughts on what's happened today, that'd be great. 1300 222 774, and also we'll take your calls on what you think the Australian cricket team's status happens to be at the moment after being thrashed by the Indians by 320 runs. 28-6, firstly to the news headlines. Colin Denman, good afternoon.
Yes, thank you, Lindy. The Reserve Bank Governor, Glenn Stevens, says the RBA does support the federal government's deposit guarantee scheme. The Australian newspaper is reporting the Reserve had expressed concerns about the scheme. But in a speech to a business function in Sydney, Mr. Stevens said the move was sensible and supported by the central bank. Meanwhile, the Treasurer, Wayne Swan, says there will be no cap on the level of deposits guaranteed by the government. However, Mr. Swan indicated there will be a fee charged on deposits over a certain level. Police are considering laying charges against students from Xavier College at Kew over end-of-year antics yesterday. All Year 12 students at the school have been suspended because of their behaviour. Residents complained of boys wearing balaclavas running down local streets and damaging property. One student had to be taken to hospital with a broken leg. Tony Mockbell's sister-in-law has been jailed for perjury. Renee Mockbell lied about her assets so she could post $1 million bail for Tony Mockbell. The county court heard after Mockbell absconded and prosecutors sought the surety, Renee Mockbell again lied about her assets while under cross-examination. She was sentenced to 2 years and 9 months jail. Renee Mockbell has already been jailed for other crimes and will now serve a further 6 months. A shower or two this evening, some clearing showers tomorrow with a fresh southerly wind moderating during the morning. A low of 10 and a top of 18. Next news at 6.
774 ABC. Traffic for Melbourne.
Good afternoon, I'm Mary Jane Fenwick. Due to an earlier incident, the Melba Highway is closed in both directions, north of Dixon's Creek, near Mount Slide. Police are on site and diversions are in place. It will be closed for at least another hour. If you're about to get onto the Monash to head into Kingsway, it would be best to seek an alternate route. A van tipped over just before Glenferrie Road on the Monash earlier this afternoon. Traffic has been reduced to two lanes through the crash scene, and it is causing significant delays in the area. Traffic is back past Malvern Station. At this stage, it will take you around 45 minutes to Kingsway. If you're heading outbound on the Monash, it's heavy from the Burnley Tunnel out to Toorak Road and then improves. 35 minutes to Jackson's Road. Better news if you travel on the Eastern. 13 minutes to Springvale Road. Eastlink is 25 minutes to the Frankston Freeway. The Ring Road is 36 minutes and slow if you're heading to Greensboro, and 26 minutes if you're heading to the Westgate Freeway. Looking at the Westgate, it's moving well. 22 minutes to Duncan's Road. And if you need to get to the airport, 15 minutes on the Tuller. No current train cancellations, but if you have a traffic update for me, you can call on 9626 1767 or text to 19 774 774 and always make sure it's safe to do so. It's 25 to 6.
Do you think you could live on 40 litres of water for 40 hours? We'll find out by taking part in the ABC's 40-hour drought. Register now at abc.net.au/water and join with people across the country in finding out what it's like to live with a limited amount of water. This year, we're also encouraging you to get everyone at work involved and see if you can save water there as well. The ABC's 40-hour drought starts this Wednesday, so register now at abc.net.au/water.
Lindsay Burns.
24 to 6, and I'm with you until 6, and that's it. We go to PM, we go to Derek, because the cricket is over. We have been beaten by India by 320 runs. It wasn't pretty, Stephen, and I don't know if you were listening during the time it was on today, but we just kept losing wickets in quick succession.
Well, I mean, I have to say, I never thought I'd see the day when the All Ordinaries would be up by 152 points and the Australians would lose a test match by more than double that. But we've seen it just slaughtered. So, we've had such a long reign for such a long period. I thought we got pretty arrogant over the years. But personally, I don't get disappointed seeing... think of how many happy Indians are out there now.
A lot of very happy. In fact, most of them have rung up, which we'll talk about in a moment.
That's right. No, I mean, it's good to have something different happen for a change, isn't it?
Terrific text messages. One says, Lindy, Sri Lanka beat India 2-1 in July. India beat Australia. That makes the Lankans champions, surely. From Gihan. Another that says, Ponting's never been a good leader. Now we have a weaker team. His weaknesses are being highlighted. It's time for a change. He's getting a bit of a pacing ponting here. One saying he's a good batsman but never been a good captain. Another, you have to lose one day, can't stay the best, so go and enjoy the curry. The curry was, I think it was Kevin sent a text saying, I'm going out to shoot a kangaroo, which we're not advocating, but then he's going to make a curry and call it a vindaroo. It's quite good. So lots of people are getting involved in that conversation. In Glen Waverley, Diptyman is there. Hello.
Hi, Lindy. How are you going?
I'm very well. You sound like you're happy.
I think you can sense my smile, but yes. I've got a couple of thoughts on the whole fiasco from Australian side and great win from Indian side. First is, it was, I think, more than 80% it was India's performance, which won them the match.
Yep.
But about 20% was Australia's approach to the game. See, look at the second innings. The way Simon Kartich and Hayden were batting, it was surreal.
It was bizarre, wasn't it?
It was bizarre, and it was like self-destructing. It was just a matter of time. You don't chase 500 runs at 10 runs and over. So that was a very different mindset, which we have never seen in the recent past.
I played a little piece from Mike Coward, who's been doing special comments for us over in India, and he was saying that it was basically just unprofessional, the approach that they took.
But then another thought, if you wind the clock back a year, India in Australia last year, they were in a worse situation. They lost the Melbourne Test match by a huge margin, headed into Sydney, again got a thumping. They lost the match, controversies apart. They lost the match, so they were down 0-2. And then they head to Perth and then heads up and they won the match.
So you're saying take heart. You never know what's going to happen in the next match.
I think great teams come back greatly. So
okay. We'll see. I hope you're right. I'd like to see us at least be competitive. Who would have thought I would ever talk about the Australian cricket team in those terms? Thank you for that. And a text message from Andy. Over the past few weeks, there's been more runs on Banks than the Aussie cricket team score sheet. Stephen, following after your own heart there. That's lovely. Stephen Main, shareholder activist, is here. A text message, Stephen, saying, are my deposits in banks like HSBC or banks that could be considered to be foreign banks, would they be guaranteed?
Well, the foreign banks are saying that they want to be treated in the same terms as the Australian banks. So they're saying, I think particularly in their ability to raise money to lend to Australian companies, they want to be able to raise money in the Australian market and have the same guarantee. On the deposit side, so I'm just talking then about the borrowing side. On the deposit side, the foreign banks are guaranteed. So the likes of ING and HSBC, if they are set up as licensed subsidiaries approved by APRA, then your money is safe. You don't need to take it out.
Okay. A phone call that's come through from John, who's in Geelong. Hi, John.
Hello, Lindy and Stephen. Look, I've got about $50,000 in a cash management trust for the NAB Common Fund. Is that safe?
Well, I must admit, John, I know that NAB obviously is covered, but I've heard people say that the cash management trust industry is not covered, and that some of those cash management trusts have had to restructure their legal definitions. But I would say to you, John, that if you're in NAB, then you're fine. I mean, even if technically you're in a cash management trust and it's not covered, but this whole thing has caused chaos in the cash management trust industry because it wasn't specifically covered, just like it's caused chaos in the $31 billion unlisted mortgage trust industry. But if you're in NAB, I mean, NAB today have just reported a $4 billion profit. I mean, they're the only bank in the world that's lifting their dividend payout. Their share price is up 7% today. Their profit's $4 billion. Their profit margins are 50%. They're making a fortune.
So it's not like Pyramid. We're not going to lose our money.
No, right. And coming from Geelong, it's a very good question to ask. But no, you are completely safe. The Australian Big Four banking cartel are the world's most profitable banks because we pay for the world's most expensive banking system. Your money is safe.
Thank you very much.
You made John's day. That's lovely. I wonder if you're going to make Teresa's day. I'll quickly go to her. Teresa, hello.
Yes, hi Lindy. I've got a question for Stephen.
Yes, please.
We have a sizable redraw in our mortgage, but we're with a non-bank lender. Is that safe?
A non-bank lender. Well, I'd need to know the name of the institution, but if it's a non-bank lender, then it won't be covered by the guarantee. But it's probably still completely 100% safe. That is the point. Is that there's too much fear and loathing out there. Because we're not covered by a guarantee, we're not going to be safe. But unless you actually said the name of it, and I think maybe you shouldn't, but if it's a non-bank lender, then...
It's the magician.
Sorry?
The The Magician.
The Magician. I don't know.
No.
I'm the Magician. I can't help you on that one, I'm afraid.
I'll try.
Therese, you did try very well, and I was actually thinking of doing some sort of kind of charades there with Justine, but that would have worked either. By the sounds of it, you're okay. I mean, the basic thing is our system's fine, and in many ways...
The bottom line is there hasn't been a depositor who's lost money in Australia for generations. Pyramid, at the end of the day, the state government stepped up on Pyramid. You had to wait for your money, you got your bonds, it took a while. But at the end of the day, it's been a long, long time since a depositor of any description lost money. And even in this whole global crisis, it's only really been the Icelandic depositors who've lost money, because every other government's stepping in behind their depositors. So unless the government falls over, which isn't going to happen anytime soon, your money on deposit is safe. But obviously you're safer if you're with one of these specifically guaranteed APRA-licensed institutions.
Therese, thanks for your call. 1300 222 774. A text message. I'm an Indian. I'd like to say that there are many Indians listening to 774 right now. So to all of them, go India. That's from Sanchit. I've got every Indian person in Melbourne listening today, and they're happy. I tell you who else is happy, Stephen. Many an ABC One viewer. Not that we don't love Tamara, we do, but Hendo's back. Hello.
Hello, Lindy.
Oh, look at him. He's so laid back. 3 months
off. Any more relaxed and I'd stop breathing, which is not a very good look on air. Mm.
How weird was it last night?
It was a bit of a shock to the system.
Did you find yourself going, oh, that's right.
I actually thought how much I enjoyed being back, to be honest.
Oh,
I mean,
nice.
3 months is a long time.
It is.
And maybe it was a little long. But it's great to be able to step outside and just take the long view for a bit and just make sure you're doing everything that you really want to be. I have to say I've ticked most of the boxes, Lindy.
Lovely.
3 months is certainly a long time in the global financial system, isn't it?
It is. The world has changed. I was in Vietnam on September the 15th when the Lehman Brothers news broke, and we were going to do all sorts of things that day. I couldn't tear myself away from CNN.
No.
It was gripping, and I mean... That was really it, wasn't it? So, but better news about today.
Yeah, it's been
really.
It's been a little better.
Glenn Stevens says so. The bailout's working. And everyone seems to be saying, yeah, maybe it is, even Stephen.
Well, although, Stephen, you're thinking that potentially, Glenn Stevens has said the bailout's working, but he would have liked to have seen a cap. I mean, he's sort of saying that in undertones. Do you reckon that'll come in?
That's the new position, that there should be a cap. And they're saying it should be as low as possible.
Right.
But, I mean, the issue is not about... are deposits safe in Australia? The real challenge for Australia is can we roll over this $120 billion of debt? And like all these foreign banks threatening to pull money out, that is a big challenge. I mean, even Wesfarmers are saying, you know, well, we've got to roll over $3 billion by next December. Will our banks do it? So the challenge is not on the deposit side.
Right.
The challenge for Australia is we've got $620 billion foreign debt. We borrow an extra $60 billion a year to fund our current account deficit. Our currency's fallen by 25%. We've got a massive debt rollover challenge. Will the world lend it to us? And the government has said, we'll guarantee everyone, so the world will lend it to us. Let's hope they do.
And in the end, though, it became a bit of a political bun fight today.
Yeah, there was a good blue in Parliament, apparently.
Yes.
Vintage Rudd versus Turnbull stuff. So it's worth watching.
Yeah, good.
The other thing you've got to see tonight is that Hillary hugs Obama.
Oh.
That's nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Unusual.
Different.
Yeah, they're talking about tax rebates in the US, more financial stuff. They're very happy over there too. This time a bailout for workers, not the banks, so Ben Bernanke says, which is very nice. And if you really want to feel miserable, we can talk about the cricket. But it's a happy, happy, happy bulletin. And I'm pleased to be back to read it.
If that is the only thing that's going to bring us down today,
is it the end of an era?
Cricket game.
Is it the end of an era? That's what they're all asking.
Yeah. I reckon it is. I reckon that's it. It's got to happen.
Yep.
You can't stay at that level for that period of time.
I think it gets a bit boring if it does.
Of course.
I mean, you want a challenge, don't you?
Yeah.
I like my cricket, but I've sort of tuned out a bit over the past couple of years because it just became a bit of a procession.
Monotonous,
I think this is great. It's great for cricket and it's great for...
What would they be saying around here?
Sports news.
It's good for football.
They would. They would. I missed out saying that, though, because I was away.
You poor thing.
With the Pixies.
Probably okay. Lovely to have you back. Thanks, Hendo. Ian Henderson on ABC One tonight at 7 o'clock. Quickly, the weather. A shower or two tonight with fresh to strong southwest to southerlies. It is cool out there. Tomorrow, a shower or two clearing by early afternoon. Fresh southerly winds moderating during the morning and tending southeasterly. 10 tonight and a top tomorrow, allegedly of 18, but it was meant to be that today. It didn't feel like it, did it? 16 for Frankston and Geelong. Fine on Thursday and 21. Mainly fine on Friday, 25, and warming up on Saturday, 30 degrees and fine conditions. More with Stephen and me in a moment.
Think the footy season's over? Think again. The Rugby League World Cup.
Trans-Tasman rivalry reaches boiling point for the highlight clash of the opening weekend. Live Sunday night, host Australia faces New Zealand. The Kangaroos have dominated the Kiwis of recent times, but the World Cup brings a new focus and pressure for both teams.
The Rugby League World Cup.
Wonderful football.
On 774 ABC Melbourne.
Lindsay Burns. Lindsay Burns. On 774 ABC Melbourne.
Text message from Ashish. Can I order some vindaroo curry with some vindaroo chutney, please? The Indians are happy. It's 12 to 6. Stephen Mayne, shareholder activist, is with me, Lindy Burns, at 774. Now, this ban on short selling, which came in how long ago now in response to the credit crisis from ASIC?
Just a couple of days after Lehman Brothers collapsed. So basically, Lehman Brothers collapsed caused this big run and loss of confidence. And the fear from the global regulators was that all the short sellers would cause runs to get even worse by selling stocks short. And as soon as someone sees share price X financial bank falls by 30%, everyone pulls their money out. So the world regulators did the right thing.
So
short selling was exacerbating the crisis and the runs on institutions. The Americans brought it back after their month and had another couple of shocking days. And ASIC, I think, quite sensibly has come out today and said that the ban on short-selling financial stocks will be extended to January the 27th, and the ban on selling any stocks will be extended to November the 18th, so another month. So I think at the end of the day, they will have to allow general short-selling, but in the midst of a rolling national security crisis, maybe don't let the Bermudan-registered hedge fund come in there and short Fortescue Metals.
As tempting as they may sound.
As it is already plunging in an uncertain environment. So I think good move by the corporate plod.
Well done. What's really happening, though, in the true economy? Because this is all the fluff stuff. It's not fluffy, but it's the virtual stuff. I mean, what's happening in... How are the real operators going? How are things going in China? I was talking yesterday, I was having a bit of a laugh, I think, with somebody. I think it was with Christella from Holst, that the Chinese economy, the growth had dropped to 9%. We both went, 9? That still sounds fairly healthy to me.
Yeah, I think it'll probably drop more than that. They're talking about steel production in China falling by 40%. I mean, when car sales in the US fall by 30% in a month, then that affects aluminium, steel, everything. So the flow-on effect is... that's the really scary thing, the fact that the global economy has just suffered its worst ever confidence shock to the system, with first credit being choked off and then world consumers being absolutely frightened by everything they're reading in the paper, watching on the TV news, hearing from their politicians. But in terms of today and any indicators today on how the economy is going, well, Woolworths came out with the sales figures up 9.6% for the first quarter, so they seem to be going pretty strongly. Harvey Norman, Jerry Harvey's a funny guy. He's releasing weekly sales figures at the moment, he's releasing rolling four weekly figures. So every Tuesday, so I can tell you about them every week.
Terrific.
So last Tuesday, the previous 4 week sales were down 4.7% like for like. This Tuesday, the previous 4 week sales are down 5.8% like for like. So the economy's
gradually,
Harvey Norman
yeah.
has slowed by another
yeah.
percent
yeah. Yeah.
in this past week. So clearly, there's been a massive reduction in sales. I mean, I was at the Pacific Brands AGM today, and Pacific Brands are the biggest importer from China of goods. I mean, they own Rio, Burley Bras, King G, Holproof Bonds, MOOCs, you know, they own all these sort of retail brands. They and I asked the chairman, I said, how much of your stuff do you bring from China? You sell $2 billion a year. That's your revenue. What do you bring from China? And he said 70 to 75% uh-huh. comes in from China. And how are your Chinese suppliers going? Are they all falling over? And, oh, well, there's a bit of extra pressure on, and but they're okay. And the other question was, well, we keep reading online that the global shipping market has ground to a halt because banks will refuse to pay letters of credit. So people don't trust sending a shipment of goods off unless there's a letter of credit from a bank guaranteeing that the person at the other end will pay. And banks are refusing
wow.
to give letters of credit. So there's many shipments around the world that aren't leaving. But in the case of Pacific Brands, they've got good relationships with their shippers and with their suppliers, and they're doing okay. But it was a pretty frank exchange, and the new discussion at AGMs is now, you know, what are your banking covenants? You know, when can your banks pull the plugs, if they could, you know, if your share price falls even further? And in the case of them, they were quite strong. And the line that the CEO came up with was that our result this year will be flat at best. And they worked very hard on that formula, flat at best. In other words, no one's got any real idea. There's been an amazing sudden drop. Maybe that $10 billion injection on December 8 will pick things up. Maybe things can turn around quickly, but forecasting it now is very difficult. The property sector, I mean, I spoke to a very prominent chairman of a big property development company today whose line was, there is no such thing as a development going well in Australia at the
wow,
moment.
Wow, that puts it in perspective. Very much so. Stephen Mayne and Lindy Burns with you at 774 ABC Melbourne at 7 to 6. Let's wrap up the cricket talk, Stephen, with Abdul in Coburg. Hello, Abdul.
Hi, Lindy. How are you?
Very well, thank you. You've got a thought on what's happened today?
I just don't know what's going on, actually. What I want to say was, just 3 years ago, this Australian team was so good, and they had so many players in Australia, they can't choose which one to play. And they actually made Australia A team.
That's right.
And suddenly, there's no spinner in entire Australia. And, I mean, I think something's wrong with the selectors too, because India is a spinner's paradise. That's where you pay, you know, play your spinners. You don't take Brett Lee and Mitchell Johnson there. They're not going to do nothing on those dead pitches.
You need a spinner. Yeah. Well, we do need a spinner, and I don't know if they're out there. If anyone's out there and would like to put their hand up, probably if you, oh, this would be a pretty good time.
I reckon bring back Warnie.
I reckon
bring him back. And
what did you say? There's a 0.05% chance of Warnie ever playing again. So I think it's something
I reckon he can still go and get him. Oh, I can tell
sure
you that for sure.
Thanks, Abdul. Thank you very much. We have two teams once, Stephen, and now we have none.
If the chairman of selectors and the cricket board wrote to Warnie and said,
mate,
all those things we said about you, mate, you know, we're sorry, you can come back as captain.
Yeah.
He'd be there in a flash.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's a thought.
And we'd be better for it.
Someone sent a text saying, get rid of Ponting as captain. Happy to have him there as a batsman. Cameron White should be captain. See, I don't know, after the performance of this. Hi, Derek.
Lindy, good evening, yes.
And you're going to be on the radio tonight.
Oh, yes. Oh, the flannel deferrals. Oh, I'm not shocked at all, no. And I'll tell you why. It has to do partly with team selection and also to do with the Australian team has been in the position historically where they win so often they don't know how to play from behind. They just don't. They haven't got a clue what to do.
Well, we saw that with Matthew Hayden and Simon Cage.
They bat so aggressively, they have no idea. And I think we ought to bring Jeffrey Boycott out as a coach, a batting coach, to teach them how to make their bat wider.
Who was
wider.
The other guy? Was it Tavaray?
Chris Tavaray,
yes. Yeah.
Well, the Australian version might be Bruce Laird. You
Bruce
Laird. Yes. Block and nudge to the character.
Yeah. The widest bat in the business, and that's what they needed. No, they had no idea. They just don't
Jeff
know.
Jeff Marsh, you know, he was a stodgy opening batsman who could have batted out a day. Even Taylor.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah.
The slog and whack.
Even
Booney.
Well, it could tough it out what it was needed. I was sitting there last night, and as the wickets were tumbling, I was thinking to myself, where's Alan Border? And then I knew immediately where Alan Border was because he started commentating.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's right.
which was the giveaway. Ash wants to become a selector, and another person wants the restaurant Vindaroo to open as quickly as possible. That was lovely. So what are you going to do tonight?
So, here's a question. If we were to invite Warnie back, what sort of salary would he be on, do you reckon?
Oh, he'd need to be on the typical fat cat salary, a guaranteed termination pay of seven figures, and so it'd be a couple of million if he got terminated, and then a base of probably a mil and a short-term incentive scheme based around the number of wickets and average runs taken per over, and then a long-term incentive scheme based on the beating the Indians in India and winning, retaining the Ashes.
And should we up his tax on everything over a mil per year, do you think?
Because
Nick Xenophon, if he's over 2 mil, Nick would like it to up to 60 cents. The Greens and the Australian Institute reckon 50 cents above a mil is fine.
I reckon it's going to happen, you know.
You think it will?
I think you'll see Barack Obama's slugging the rich. He's just reversing all of George Bush's tax cuts for the rich. And I think you'll see around the world, you'll see anyone on seven figures. I mean, Bill Clinton got into office and banned salaries, capped them at $1 million when he got into office. And that's why all the equity incentive schemes came on, because you got punitively taxed over $1 million. It's happened before. I think it will happen.
Do you know what surprised me when I heard about this morning? Though? I thought, I can't believe it's not already in, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Given when does the 47 cents kick in?
I think it's 180.
I rest my case.
45, I think it is. So that kicks
in, and then there's no change? As you get into the
but
seven
most
figures?
Of the top execs get paid in stock and pay single digit tax rates on a third of their salary. Well, the way the tax act, there's all these holes in the tax act where you get paid with shares and you prepay your capital gains tax. Mm-hmm. All those rorts are going to go. I guarantee within the next 3 or 4 months, the government will actually shut all those loopholes.
Yeah, that's one of the ones that Nick Xenophon has been pointing to today.
There's not going to be too many people who'll be unhappy about that, except for those in the middle of it.
Well, I'd like to hear what listeners. I'd like to hear what you have to think about this. Do you think it would in fact make any difference? If you think about it, if you're on $2 million and you're paying 50 cents in the dollar, or 45 cents in the dollar now, and you'll be paying 50 cents in the dollar, that's $50,000 out of $1 million.
Yeah.
Is it going to make that much difference in truth to the income stream to consolidated revenue? Is it going to be such a disincentive that all the apparently they're not monkeys because we don't pay peanuts? What did you see the thing in The Age the other day? Pay peanuts, get monkeys. We pay truffles, got pigs. Interesting. However, would it make any difference? Will it act as a disincentive to these ridiculously high salary packages?